Hello and welcome to another episode of Green Shoots, a history of Irish football with me, Caelan Kerwin, and football historian Gary Spain. Coming up is part two of our journey through Limerick football as we look at the period from 1960 through to 1980. Don't forget to share the show on your own social media channels to let more people find out about the history and heritage of Irish football. And why not share your own stories about it while you're at it? Turn on your notifications on whatever podcast platform you use so that you get notified straight away when a new episode drops. Now, in our last episode a few days ago, we finished our first episode on the history of Limerick football in 1960 as they win the League of Ireland Trophy for the first time and become national champions. So, the 1960s is where we pick up part two of the story just after that famous title-winning season. So, league champions they are, and comes with league champions is Europe, yes? So they're foray into Europe now?
So Limerick enter Europe for the first time and drawn against a crack Swiss side of Young Boys of Bern. I should actually mention as well that a man who came to Limerick in 1960 to take over was a Scotsman by the name of Ewan Fenton, whose name became synonymous with Limerick football. He played in the 1953 FA Cup final, which is known as the Matthews final. Stanley Matthews finally got his FA Cup winner's medal, which is a little bit harsh on Stan Mortensen, who scored a hat-trick in the final as Blackpool defeated Bolton Wanderers 4-3. There's a famous quip, I think, from Stan Mortensen's funeral that somebody would say, maybe this will be called the Matthews funeral as well. But Ewan Fenton played right half on the winning Blackpool team. He set up I think he set up the winning goal, actually. It was his pass. There's radio commentary still in existence, and it starts with Fenton playing a ball out from the back. But very cultured player, cultured defender, player manager for Limerick for years, and also manager, a great man to develop young players. Unfortunately, the directors in 1960, having won the league, took the decision to let a lot of the Dublin players go, which was a major mistake, and they let Donny Wallace go back to Cork. They lost the likes of Harry McHugh, Georgie Lynham, etc. Some very, very good players, and Tommy came after that. But
is that purely a financial decision?
I think it was a financial decision. And now, I think in their defence, they reckon there were a lot of good young players coming through in Limerick at the time. And the likes of Kevin Fitzpatrick, Al Finucane a little bit after that, Mick Doyle, who were, of course, hugely talented and some of the best players that the city ever produced. So you can see maybe some method in it, but I think it was a cost-saving measure as well. So Ewan Fenton was brought in, get to play Young Boys of Bern. Huge excitement for the game, moved to Thomond Park. The Markets Field wasn't deemed suitable or big enough in those days. And unfortunately, Bern won by 5-0. Yeah. It was quite a hammering.
Yeah, but in it, you got to be in it to win it, and they won the league to get there. So not all bad in that story. But I suppose then the rest of the 1960s, is it fair to say there's a lot of heartbreak in there?
You go on to the mid 1960s and. I might just jump back briefly into the 40s, because Limerick had a lot of bad luck against Shamrock Rovers in the Cup in the 40s, including going to Milltown in the first leg of a tie and winning, and unfortunately being beaten by a couple of goals in the return of the Markets Field. So the 1957 semi-final. So going on to 1964, Limerick had never knocked Shamrock Rovers out of the FAI Cup. In 1964... Limerick were on a good run, been playing really well. Shamrock Rovers came to the Markets Field. I think it was the quarter final. Huge crowd, massive game. I think it was Eddie Balaam got the only goal. Rovers beat Limerick. 65, Limerick still going on a good run. Get to the semi-finals and unfortunately get a really tough draw and face champions-elect Drumcondra in Dublin. And a double blow, Kevin Fitzpatrick falls ill on the day of the game and is unable to play. His replacement, Connolly, has the game of his life, and Limerick pull off a sensational 1-0 win and beat Drumcondra on their way to the title. Shamrock Rovers waiting in the final, the cup holders, the legendary names of Irish football. And Limerick with a better team should have won the game. Mick Doyle, who had come through in the early 60s, an incredible player, amateur caps for Ireland. Unfortunately, his leg broken in the cup final, and he was never the same player again. He spent months in hospital afterwards. It was a really bad break. Limerick drew 1-1. As I said, you never get a second chance against Rovers in the cup. Rovers won the replay 1-0. A year later, Limerick get to their second ever cup final. Who's waiting in the final? Shamrock Rovers. They've already won the 64 and 65 FAI Cups. Take an early lead. Limerick try to equalise. Couple of controversial decisions, but Rovers run out 2-0 winners. Probably should tell the story about the that day in the laneway after the cup win.
This story is infamous, and it breaks my heart every time you tell it.
So Limerick's captain Al Finucane is standing in the laneway, and there's a lot of tears being shed. I mean, my father talks about those days, and it was absolutely devastating. I mean, it was 3 years in a row Rovers had beaten Limerick in the cup, twice in Dalymount in the cup finals. Al has been in tears, surrounded by family and Limerick people. In those days, you could park in the laneway in Dalymount. And the Rovers captain, who was Ronnie Nolan, I think, comes out, gear bag under one arm, FAI cup under the other, opens up the boot of his car, flings in his gear bag, flings in the FAI cup, slams down the boot and drives off. And Limerick people just watching open-mouthed as saying, if that was us, there would be tens of thousands of people waiting when we got back to Limerick. But it was just, Rovers are used to winning the cup. They won it this year, but they win it so often. They were to go on and win the next three FAI Cups, actually. They won six in a row from 64 to 69.
Yeah, so 66 was three in a row, wasn't it? And then all the way, then they won it from basically 64 to 69, yeah. So they
got beat six Pats in a row. And I mean, they beat teams like Waterford. I mean, 68, very famous final. I mean, Waterford won six leagues in 8 years in from the late 60s to 1973, but they couldn't win an FAI Cup in that period.
Yeah, it's just a devastating kind of period for Limerick football as well. The 60s is set up as, I suppose, a heartbreak kind of decade. Does it change at all into the 1970s?
Well, I mean, so first to mention in 69-70 season, and it's the Dublin City Cup again, and it was a sign of good times to come. So it's only been won twice by Limerick, and in each time it preceded something massive. And it did involve a really sensational win as well. So Limerick had actually had a very tough route to the final. They had to go up to Oriel Park and beat Dundalk. They had to go down to Cork and beat Cork Gibbs. And they get to the final, and at least it was at home in the Markets Field. And it was against Waterford, who were just after winning third league title in a row and their fourth in five seasons at that stage. Just wanted to get that right. So that was, they'd won three leagues in a row. They'd won, or they're on their way to winning three leagues in a row and their fourth title in five seasons. Limerick and Waterford set for April 1970, and the match has to be postponed. And a really odd reason for postponing a National Cup final, because Dana was in town.
I mean, I'm not slating the talents of Dana, but I mean, wow.
Well, Dana had won. Now, in fairness, Dana had won the Eurovision for Ireland, and it was a huge deal. So, and Dana was coming to Limerick on a Wednesday night, and it was decided there is no way you could play a football match up against the counter attraction of Dana being in Limerick. So the cup final was delayed for 24 hours. Then it followed with more controversy because it was a draw and it went into extra time. And there was no floodlights in those days in the Markets Field. And the referee, and I'm not blaming the referee, and my dad would have been at this game, and he said it's fair enough. The light had got so bad, the ref had to abandon the game. And Then you had a little bit of a protest between Limerick and Waterford, because Limerick were saying, well, the final wasn't finished. It should be replayed in Limerick. And Waterford were saying, well, there was only, what, 10, 15 minutes to go. We've already travelled once. We shouldn't have to travel again, and Limerick should have to go down to Kilcone Park. So Waterford won the argument. Limerick had to go to Kilcone Park. But they went down, and thanks to the brilliance of Andy McAvoy, pulled off a sensational 3-2 win to actually win the Dublin City Cup against obviously a hugely talented Waterford team.
Great Waterford team. It's a Dublin City Cup, another kind of major trophy in 1970. It's the big one then finally comes for Limerick in 71, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, it's just before my time. I mean, I was 4 years of age going to the Markets Field at the end of that season, but I've actually no memory of Limerick winning the cup. I have a memory of wanting to go, but getting left with my grandmother as my parents went. So Limerick got to the cup final, great run, had a battle with Bohemians, had to go to Dalymount Park in a replay and win. Had a tough semi-final, a bit lucky to beat St. Pat's. A Tony Meaney goal in Talca Park decided it. And I think Pat's, by all accounts, are much the better team. You were assured of a first-time winner because Limerick got to the final in a third FAI Cup final, having never won the Cup. And Drogheda got to their first ever FAI Cup final. Again, another controversial decision in Dalymount Park that's largely forgotten. Although there's a great man by the name of Charlie O'Leary that has been reminded of it in recent times as well. So Charlie refereed the 1972 FAI Cup final, Waterford and Hibs, but in 71 he was on the line. And it was 0-0, 5 minutes to go. And Tony Meaney, with a picture book diving header, appears to win the cup for Limerick. And Charlie O'Leary sticks up his offside flag. And I've spoken to plenty of Limerick people, and they said there is no way it was offside. It was the wrong call. And
well, I mean, they're bound to say that.
No, these would all be totally impartial, like myself.
Never seen anything through blue tinted glasses.
Anyway, so one of them, actually, John Fitzgerald, he only passed away a couple of years ago. Many years later, he was chatting to Charlie O'Leary and he said, you know, you got that one wrong, Charlie. And he said, well, the FAI loved me because they got a lot of money out of the replay. So, but just like in 1960, in 1971, all went right in the replay, and Davy Barrett with one and Huey Hamilton off the bench with two. Limerick beat Drogheda by 3-0. And I should mention a fantastic save from Kevin Fitzpatrick at 0-0 that was also described as the save that won the cup, when he dived full length to make a great save. Mm-hmm. And the celebrations for that cup win were probably some of the best ever seen in Limerick, up there with Munster in 06. The train, such were the crowds in Colbert Station, the train had to stop 3 miles out of Limerick, and the players had to walk the track to get into Limerick. And the celebrations, the crowds were phenomenal. And I mean, it's just before my time, but from talking to my father, from talking anyone I speak to that was at the game, that was involved in football in Limerick, that was a fan of football in Limerick that time, will say that was the finest hour to win it, finally get their hands in the FAI Cup. Now, appreciate we've been national champions twice, and you would say normally the league means more, but that cup win, and because of everything that had gone before and so many hard luck stories, it just released so much joy and passion, energy. It meant so much. And the celebrations in 71 topped anything from 1960, even 53, and the ones I remember, obviously, after that.
And I'd imagine as well, part of it was also because 65 and 66, I mean, they're not that far away. They're only 5 years away and losing those two finals to Shamrock Rovers. So those the thoughts of those would have still been fairly fresh with people and the feeling of those two finals, losing those two finals in the middle of the 60s. And now all of a sudden, they finally are champions. So it must have been a huge, not just kind of like fantastically won, but also a relief that within that period, they had managed to kind of turn it around and finally get over the line with the FAI Cup.
Yeah, it was a huge relief. And I have to mention Ewan Fenton and Andy McAvoy, who I mentioned briefly, but because Ewan had left in 1967 to go to Belfast to manage Linfield, and he won every trophy with Linfield, but the troubles had started in and by 1970, Ewan had a young family, and he... Well, I think from actually talking to him, because we knew him very well. He was a good friend of the family. He taught me to drive. The coffee shop, he loved going for his morning coffee in pretty much the same coffee shop nearly every day. And one of the days he wasn't there, the coffee shop was bombed. And it had a very chilling effect on him. He had a young family, and he made the decision to leave Belfast and move back to what Limerick would have been, obviously a hell of a lot safer than Belfast in 1970, and a much quieter place, and maybe a nicer place to bring up a young family. And the family stayed in Limerick until Ewan passed away then. So Ewan came back in the summer of 1970, having actually won the Irish Cup with Linfield. They beat Ballymena in the final. And a year later, he managed Limerick to win the FAI Cup, so winning both of them in consecutive seasons.
Yeah, fantastic. It's an interesting little story, the swings and the roundabouts of life, and how dramatic turns can have knock on effects in other places. But so Limerick are FAI Cup champions. Does Europe beckon again then because of that?
Yeah,
Cup Winners' Cup.
So this was Limerick's third foray into Europe. I should have mentioned in 1965. Limerick got into Europe as runners-up because Shamrock Rovers had opted to enter the Intercity Fairs Cup and as Shield winners. So Limerick got into the Cup Winners' Cup but lost home and away to CSKA. Played Torino, the Italian Giants, in 1971. 1-0 in Thomond Park, 4-0 in Turin. It was a brief foray in the Cup Winners' Cup, and Limerick were out of Europe again.
So that's the early 70s then. How does the rest of the decade turn out?
So, I mean, in typical Limerick fashion, cost-cutting and...
the spark does not turn into the flame, is that what you're trying to say?
No, it doesn't. And I mean, but I suppose I shouldn't be too critical in this case, because I was 4, 5, 6 years of age, and my grandfather, Lord rest him, was bringing me to the Markets Field. And the reason he was because Limerick had let a lot of players go and they weren't that successful. And the crowds had gone way down. So if Limerick had been playing to big crowds, it mightn't have been as easy to bring me every week. I have to mention a cup tie against Shamrock Rovers in 1973 because, I probably should mention Shamrock Rovers had drawn Athlone Town in the previous round, and it had been a draw, and it went to a replay, I think in Athlone on the Wednesday, if I remember correctly. And the winners were due to play Limerick on the Sunday. So they drew in Athlone on the Wednesday. They might have played extra time. The replay again was fixed for the Thursday, and I think they played 2 periods of extra time. And they drew again, and they played on the Friday, and Shamrock Rovers ran out 3-1 winners with a trip to Limerick on the Sunday. And actually, the programme for the game has Limerick v Shamrock Rovers or Athlone Town. It had to go to press before the... But the reason I mention it is because I was 6 years of age, and Limerick were playing Rovers in the Cup, and Rovers were already... I mean, Waterford and Cork Hibs were probably the glamour teams at the time, but Rovers were still a big name. They'd lost the league in 1971 in a playoff against Hibs. But Limerick beat them 1-0 with a goal from Des Kennedy. Shea Doyle was actually sent off, so Limerick won it with 10 men. But I appreciate Rovers had played a lot of football that week. But the win meant so much, not so much to me at 6 years of age, but I saw how much football mattered to all the old men on the popular side. They looked old to me. Mm-hmm. I suppose they're probably all younger than me now. But anyway,
Was it a kind of exercising the demons type of moment?
Well, absolutely. It was the first time Limerick had beaten Shamrock Rovers. It was the first time Limerick knocked Shamrock Rovers out of the FAI Cup. And at 6 years of age, I was there to see it. And at 59 years of age, I'm still waiting to see the second time.
You never know. Keep those fingers crossed. It's football's a strange game.
Yeah. I'm actually waiting longer than any of those men that were in tears and celebrating. But at least I did get to see it once, and this was the first time for them. So that Des Kennedy goal, it meant a lot. Got to the semi-final against Cork Hibs. The cup holders, Cork, had beaten Waterford 3-0 in the 72 final. And Hibs beat Limerick 2-0 in Flower Lodge. It was my first away game, actually, as a Limerick fan. And we lost 2-0. Hibs went on to win the cup again. But Limerick was still in the doldrums. Couple of changes of managers. Kevin Fitzpatrick was briefly player manager. Ewan Fenton came back again. And again, started to work with young players. They talked about the likes of Kevin Fitzpatrick, Mick Doyle and Al Finucane in the early 60s. Now you're talking the likes of Pat Nolan, Johnny Walsh. I suppose Des Kennedy was scoring goals in 73, but was still a very young player by 1975. And Limerick get to the final of the League Cup in the 75-76 season. So in October, November 75, play Sligo Rovers. And in the first leg in the Markets Field, Limerick battered them by 4-0, which is a bit of a surprise because Limerick weren't doing that well in the league. Mm. And it's also probably memorable for the wrong reasons, because there was terrible violence on the stand side. Now, I was over on the Poplar side, which was the very old and the very young, but the, let's say the fans, the ultras, that wouldn't have been called ultras in the 1970s, but the guys who wanted to chant and sing and throw a few digs were all on the stand side, and it was some of the worst violence I've ever actually experienced at football, and it made national headlines as well. And
was that a common place thing in the 70s and the 80s? Because I know, obviously, on the other side of the water, it was a serious problem for English football. To have that kind of stuff go on in football, was that a commonplace thing in Irish football?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it did happen quite a bit. I mean, it's certainly in the 70s into certainly the mid 80s. It was reasonably common. You know, it was. There were a lot of fights between, I'd say, fans in their late teens, early 20s. The bigger games, the cup ties. I mean, I can certainly remember trouble when Shamrock Rovers came to the Markets Field. Even Drogheda, I think in 1983, there was quite a lot of trouble. There's a good story, a friend of mine. Now, I'd actually forgotten the trouble in Drogheda the trouble in Limerick in 83. Drogheda came down and beat us 1-0 in the cup, and it's one they talk about their redemption after losing in 71. And the 77 semi-final as well. But on one of the Drogheda buses, which had to come through Dublin in those days, they're driving near Inchicore, and they see a guy in a red and white scarf. And some guy says, "Stop the bus, stop the bus. There's a Pat's B down there." So he gets off the bus, runs over and throws a couple of punches at the guy in the red and white scarf before some fellow Drogheda fans drag him off and bring him back onto the bus. And there's a very confused Welsh rugby supporter having had a very enjoyable day at Lansdowne Road the day before,
wondering what the hell is going on
and what the hell is a Pat's B. But anyway, anyway, we've jumped ahead a little bit. In 75, we beat Sligo in 4-0 in the first leg, and because of the trouble, virtually nobody travelled. And my dad actually thankfully did bring me to Sligo. So he drove up. It was my first trip to the showgrounds. And I still remember it, early November 1975. We lost 1-0. Kevin Fitzpatrick saved a penalty. And That was the first national trophy I saw Limerick win, which was the League Cup in 1975.
Wow. And do you, like, I'm not casting aspersions on your age, but do you remember it kind of being there? Do you kind of remember it, I suppose, from your child's eyes?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because at that stage, I was over four years going to the Markets Field, and I was going every week. So I have very strong memories of the first leg, of the goals, and then of the going one down. And I mean, Kevin saved the penalty with about 15 minutes to go. And you're just getting that bit nervous. And I mean, you'd won the first leg 4-0. You were losing 1-0. If they got the second, I remember thinking if they scored the penalty, we could be under huge pressure. But once Kevin saved it, I think that was job done. And we saw the game. So I've very vivid memories of winning the cup. I've been at, I was 9 years of age at that stage, in my blue and white scarf in the main stand in the showgrounds, and definitely celebrating it at the end. But what I do remember is there was very, very few from Limerick. Now, it was midweek, and Sligo was a huge journey in those days. But I think if there hadn't been so much trouble at the first game, there would have been a much bigger Limerick crowd. But there was no trouble whatsoever at the return.
Yeah, I'd imagine back then it was probably about, what, 3 hours, 3 or 4 hours up to Sligo?
Easily. I'd say it was four. Four. There was no motorway. I mean, I remember again going up there in the 80s, and it was quite a drive, you know. So
a trek in 1970s and 1980s Irish roads. So we're coming up now to I suppose the late 70s and up to, I suppose, the what you can argue is one of the golden parts of Limerick football as well in the 80s. But I suppose round off the 70s for us there, there's a cup final loss to Dundalk to take in as well.
Yeah, so there was an epic cup run in 1977. I mean, the draw was very unkind, because Sligo Rovers, who had lost that League Cup final, had their own golden season in 76-77 when they were league champions. They won the title, and they were top of the league and riding high, and Limerick were drawn away to Sligo Rovers in the first round of the FAI Cup. And the previous year, Limerick had been beaten by non-league Dalkey United. A man by the name of Pat Devlin scored the only goal. Obviously a hugely famous name and a fantastic character in Irish football.
He turned out to be all right.
Oh, yeah, brilliant. I mean, brilliant guy and everything like that. And fantastic manager with Bray Wanderers. But he got the winning goal. The last time, actually, a non-league club has beaten a Limerick side, a senior side, in the FAI Cup. Anyway, so in 77, Limerick went to Sligo, went to the showgrounds, beat Sligo Rovers 4-1. And huge, huge shock in the cup. Next round, we're drawn at home to Waterford, a very talented Waterford side. Maybe come down a little bit from the team that had won the six leagues, but still a lot of Peter Thomas, Alfie Hale, Johnny Matthews, they were all still around, if I remember correctly. And a draw on the Markets Field, back down to Kilcone Park. Kevin Fitzpatrick, at the game of his life, stopped everything. I think he saved a penalty as well that day. And Dave Kirby, who had been one of the stars for Waterford, was with Limerick at the time, snatched a smash-and-grab winner with about 15 minutes to go, if I remember correctly. And Limerick are into semi-final against Drogheda. 6 years on, an epic three-game battle, 0-0, 1-1, and Limerick won it 2-1 to get to the final against Dundalk. And it's a funny one, because I think everyone expected it to be a draw, because there have been so many draws. And even when we were going to Dublin, I said, oh, this will probably be a draw, but we'll get them in the replay, you know. And Terry Flanagan put Dundalk 1-1. Limerick actually dominated the game for long periods, but couldn't get the equaliser. And Terry Flanagan got a second with about 5 minutes to go. And that was another game, unfortunately, with a lot of hooliganism. We were in the stand, but the fans in the terraces had a pitch battle. Limerick fans invaded the pitch and all at one point, you know.
So more heartbreak for Limerick then in a cup final. So we kind of move on then to into the 80s then. And I suppose the early part of the 80s is where is that kind of that golden brace at the start of the decade?
Yeah, so I think the 79-80 season, so in the summer of 1979, Owen Hand arrived in Limerick as player manager. And I think you have to say he made a massive difference. And the first difference he made, and I have talked about this because it was mentioned in 53, it was mentioned in 59, and again in 79. In fitness, he had his assistant, actually Dave Mahidi, who was, if you remember the old Thomond College as part of UL now, but it was a PE teacher training college out on the Plassey campus. And Dave Mahidi was out there. I mean, Tony Ward is a graduate of that as well. Mm. But Dave Mahidi, I suppose, was practicing sports science in 1979 when it wasn't called sports science. And it was called whatever it was called, just to get guys fit. But the players, the squad were put through a really tough fitness regime in the summer of 1979, and the professionalism of Owen Hand and his managerial ability as well played a huge part in this, because he had taken a team that had finished, I think, sixth the year before. It had been sixth, seventh, eighth, mid table. Hadn't really challenged for the title and transformed it into a title-winning side. Now, it wasn't obvious at the start. Lost 2-1 to Linfield in the Tyler Cup in the first game of the season. Went down to Cork United in the League Cup and were beaten. Actually, one of the first times I remember a penalty shootout going around the clock in that. It was 8-8 after 11 penalties each, and it went around to take a 12th penalty. And it's the only time I actually remember Tony Meaney missing a penalty in a Limerick short. He was the best penalty taker I've ever seen. But his second penalty was saved, and Cork United beat Limerick 9-8 in penalties in the League Cup. But so there was nothing spectacular in pre-season. Started off the league with the newcomers, UCD, beat them 2-0, two goals in the first few minutes, but the game petered out. There were only 200 or 300 people in the Markets Field that day. It was incredible. I mean, the people that say they were at every match, because it changed from 200 or 300 to 5,000 within a few weeks.
Wow.
Because Limerick went on a run. I mean, started off, the win over UCD was okay, expected. There was their first game in the League of Ireland. Following week, laid down a little bit of a marker, went up to Sligo, beat Sligo Rovers 3-2, which was an impressive win, came back down and played Cork United in the Markets Field. And this is when all the hype kind of got started. There was a bit of a bigger crowd because Limerick had won two games, but still nothing spectacular. And Limerick won 4-1, and Owen Hand scored all four goals. And that started the hype. 2 weeks later, there was no game the following week, I think, because the Pope was in Ireland. So 2 weeks later.
I mean, it's a better excuse than Dana.
Well, it's we get games cancelled for all sorts of reasons in Limerick. So there's a tradition in Limerick, and it's almost still true to this day, that Limerick will go on a bit of a run, get a couple of decent results, have a massive home game, get the big crowd in, and flop, right? And I can give so many examples. And, well, having started the season with three wins in a row, Bohemians were in town. And I mean, Bohemians were a very decent team at this stage. They'd been champions a couple of times in the late 70s. They would have been one of the contenders at the time. And they were a very well-organized side. They were very difficult to break down. And, well, I suppose it looked like the game was going to peter out in a 0-0 draw, as Limerick had absolutely battered them but couldn't score the goal. Bowes had defended very well. And right at the very death, Owen Hand snatched a winner that sent the Markets Field nuts. So you had the combination of the big crowd and the big win, and
a late winner too.
A late winner, last kick of the game. And I think the fitness took fitness told in that case. You know, the players had been fitter than they ever were. I still talk to some of the players, they'll all say that was the fittest they'd been, you know, and that's how you win games in the last minute.
Yeah, like we've had Owen on the podcast before. People can go back and listen to the Two Bread interview with him there, but he said the same thing as you, that, you know, he brought in kind of Dave Mahidi to transform the kind of fitness element of it as well as just not just kind of going out there and, you know, trying to win games, but also understanding that you had to be fit, you had to be strong, you had to be fast, and you certainly had to be tough in those days as well for some of those tackles too. So you had to be able to, you know, have an extra 2%, an extra 5% to get you over the line in games. And it certainly seems to have worked out that way as well. And also credit to Owen as well. And as you say, with his management, I think he understood his players really well, and he understood what the best places for them were and what the best use of their skills were as well, which was brilliant from him too.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the key things was Owen was a centre half, and he was player manager. He said, "I'll obviously go in a centre half," and he realised Joe Mahoney and Brendan Storm were the centre back pairings, and he says, "I'm not breaking them up." And he played as a holding midfielder and played in front of the back four, which turned out to be a master stroke as well. He was able to get forward and score the goals, but he was also able to protect the back four as well. So he played a crucial role on the pitch as well as off the pitch.
It's a fantastic story. And talk to us about the ending for that season as well, because, I mean, every time Barr won a cup final, every time you've won something, it's always been by drama and not just by winning comfortably.
Yeah, so it was a dramatic season. I mean, Limerick and Dundalk. So Dundalk had been champions. It was a hugely talented Dundalk side. That was the season they went on the run in Europe. They were so unlucky not to knock Celtic out and reach the quarterfinals of the European Cup. But it was nip and tuck. Limerick had won 2-0 in the Markets Field. Dundalk had won 1-0 in Oriel Park. And it came down to, well, I'll go to a crucial day near the end of the season. Limerick were down in Kilcone Park away to Waterford. Waterford were to go on and win the cup, beat Limerick in an epic semi-final. But they were a point clear at Dundalk. Limerick had a tough run in. Waterford away, Athlone away, just beaten Shamrock Rovers at home. An epic game in Kilcone Park. Limerick were a goal down, came back to lead 3-1. Waterford battled back. Alfinucan, who captained Limerick to the cup in 71, captained Waterford to the cup in 1980, but headed an equaliser with about 15 minutes to go. And with 10 minutes to go, Tony Morris scored a fantastic goal into the top corner, only for the referee to disallow it and give a free into Limerick. And you can imagine the pandemonium. There was over 1,000 Limerick fans in Kilcone Park, and we were going bananas. And so Owen Hand was the calmest person in the ground, because he put the ball down and put the free kick in the same top corner that Tony had just put his shot. So, and that day got even better, because Dundalk had floodlights in those days, and most clubs didn't. Dundalk actually only drew 0-0 with Home Farm, so which was a huge shock. And it had been a day when Dundalk had thought they might have gone top or at least closed the gap, and instead the gap had gone out to 2 points. So Limerick duly beat Home Farm and went to Athlone on the last day, just needing a draw to clinch the title. And of course, we never do things easy in Limerick. First half, a bit of nervousness, a bit of a mix-up, and Athlone get a free outside the box. Michael O'Connor takes a fantastic free kick, puts Athlone 1-0 up. Look, there was 5,000 people there from Limerick that day. Athlone made a fortune, actually, on the gate, but it was a very nervous Limerick performance. It wasn't a good performance at all. But gradually, Owen Hand made a couple of changes in the second half. I think it was Jerry Duggan got away in the box. Stephen Fenwick brought him down, the Athlone full-back. And thankfully, the referee gave the penalty. And, well, Tony Meaney, he's still the best man I've ever seen take a penalty. And if I had to pick someone to save my life to take a penalty, it would be the late great Tony Meaney. And he duly set Mick Smith the wrong way. And we held on for the point needed to win the league.
Of all the trophies, is it still the cup for you? I mean, like, so I know there's kind of obviously talk of, you know, the cup is the sprint and the league is the marathon. And, you know, even when I was talking to Dermot Keighley, he said, I never really appreciated cups. It was always the league, because it's the marathon. It's the one that kind of you put your most effort into winning. And I know it's 1980 and you'd win the cup again, but this is the last time that you won the league in Limerick as well. So does it affect it more in terms of by comparison to other cups, or is it still that FAI Cup win in the 70s?
You see, for me, it would have to be that league win in 1980. Now, we played, 35, I think, domestic games. I was at 34 of them. I mean, I lived every minute of that season. Sligo was played at 5:30 on a Sunday, and my dad didn't drive to that. So we went to every other match. We lived every minute of it. To me, following Limerick football, that was the greatest moment. I can't remember the 71 Cup win. I can't remember Limerick winning the Cup. I can't remember the celebrations. I was 4 years of age. And even though I was watching football, I'd been to a couple of games at the end of that season. I can't remember my first match. I can't really remember much about it. Even the following season, I was only just starting. It was only the end of that season I was kind of getting into football. So I've been to quite a few games in 71 too, but I can remember watching the FAI Cup final live on TV. I can remember watching some of the FA Cup final. Alan Clark got the winner. I remember Rangers winning the Cup Winners Cup. That was live on RTE. So there was some big games in 72 that were live on TV. I can remember Drumcondra in the Markets Field, Waterford. So the bigger teams, but by 1980, I was just so invested. I was at going every single game. It meant so much. So for me, that league win in 1980 has got to be the best moment, definitely by far the best moment for me watching Limerick. But anyone I speak to that was at the Cup Final in 71, that was following Limerick in 1971, will say it's 1971. So I have to go with my father. I have to go with Mick Doyle. I have to go with John Fitzgerald. I have to go with Brian O'Brien. I have to go with all the men that talk about the 71 Cup win and what it meant. And I suppose that's why, if you're talking the greatest day in Limerick football history, you probably have to go with Daly Mount Park in 1971. But for me, I would go at St. Mel's Park in 1980, but I appreciate I have to say I'm wrong on that. I mean, I suppose my father.
I don't think you're necessarily wrong, because you're both winning, both of them. You're winning major trophies at the end of the day. But I think probably for you the memory is more vivid because you're older. You understand it more. You put your heart and soul into that season too. You were traveling with them everywhere, so.
Yeah,
it meant more for you in that scenario. So I don't think it's necessarily one above the other, but I think for you it probably has a more kind of nostalgic place and a more kind of better place because you invested so much in that season too.
Yeah, I think there's that, and I mean I need to point out as well, even for anyone else, it was the only real chance fans got to celebrate Limerick winning the league in a stadium, because everyone was walking back to King's Bridge when news was starting to come through that Limerick had won the league in 1960, and they thought they'd blew it. Now, it can be a great way to win a league when you think you've lost it, but if you find out you're winning a league when you're walking back to a train station, it's not the same as being in the stadium, celebrating with the team. And I always actually feel, just in general, while it's fantastic to win a league, if you actually win a league when your rivals are dropping points, it's kind of a bit of a damp squib, maybe. So you could be sitting at home watching a game on TV and you become champions. Now, it's obviously fantastic to become champions, but I think it's always better to be in the stadium to win it on the pitch.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. And I think it's about... It's that football fan kind of mentality, though, isn't it? It's enjoying those moments with the people around you, with the team, etc. And those are the things that it's not necessarily watching your team lift the cup, which is amazing, but it's all the other memories that come after it. It's the celebrations that come after it. It's the trip home with everybody else afterwards. And it's that kind of feeling of being, you know, sky high and on top of the world.
Yeah, and it was so tight. I mean, Limerick won the league by a point. It was so tight with Dundalk. There were so many stages during the season. Even RTE getting a score wrong. We were 2-0 down in Ballybuffet, and RTE announced that Dundalk are winning 1-0 in Waterford at halftime. And it looked like the league was gone. Limerick came back and won 3-2. Celebrations were incredible. And then RTE announced that Waterford had beaten Dundalk 2-0. We said, it's not, they were 1-0 up. And it was actually Waterford that were 1-0 up, and they got it wrong. You know, I mean, it's those kind of moments transformed the season. You know, even the mistakes and everything, it all has an impact. And there were other moments when, I mean, we lost to Dundalk in Oriel Park, when had we got a draw or won the game, we would have more or less been home and dry. Mm-hmm. We'd beaten them a week earlier in the cup. Tony Morris had got the winner in Oriel Park, went up a week later in the league, and they beat us. Brian Duff scored. I can still vividly remember those games and how much they mattered, and we'd gladly have swapped wins, but it didn't matter in the end. We got over the line in the title. The FAI Cup didn't... Losing the FAI Cup semi-final, that was an epic game against Waterford in a replay. It wasn't as big a disappointment as other defeats, because the league was the focus. Mm. And it was very much, we wanted to win the league. It had been 20 years at that stage, which seemed like an eternity. I hadn't been born the last time Limerick had won the league. And, 20 years now. Anyway, it's...
Well, that's it for this show. We'll have our third and final part of our journey through Limerick football history in a few days or so. Make sure you stick with us for that. Why not turn on notifications on whatever podcast platform you use so that you get notified straight away when the new episode drops. Don't forget to share the show on your own social media channels to let more people find out about the history and heritage of Irish football. And why not share your own stories while you're at it? And remember to support your local League of Ireland and Northern Ireland Football League teams. It's our heritage. It's our game. Bye for now.